Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Joylyn Dean, Cam B, Jackie C, Stephanie Henricks-Welsh, Rye, Natasha Herbert. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 70 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
Bryn Monroe.
James Ross.
And who are you playing?
Grizzok, Drick Act Amsterdam.
Cool. Sasha Rackett.
Hamid Salah, Harun Al-Tahan.
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham.
You're getting there. I'll get you lickety-split eventually. It helps that I don't have to play a character, because then I'd mess it up. So...
Naming am hard.
So, we are currently...
Alex, I'm fed over.
Speaking of am falling over, we have now a pair of mages in tow, which we're going to have to deal with.
Spare mages.
I left you without Brutor for what? A few sessions? Suddenly now it's just...
Bertie's got new pets.
You have to teach the people how to be dogs.
Yes!
Stop jumping the gun!
So I've got this collar for you, now take your clothes off and put it on.
So weird. So, we are currently in Prague.
I'm guessing that the
blueprints... It's not a sex thing.
The blueprints are 18.
So, having been around the... brief zombie outbreak of Prague at ground level. We headed up to the University of Prague, Charles University, floating up in the sky, and you are now mostly together again in the study of Franz Kafka with Einstein, who is basically a teenage girl, it would appear. And certainly that was your comment last time.
We just keeps going,
And you have discovered a secret room in the study of Franz Kafka. And Bertie was just rejoining the group, having grievously wounded one Oliver and pushing another Oliver to a psychological...
No. They're back in the entry hall. We haven't brought them all the way down to the professorial rooms.
Also, they wounded each other. That's what they did. They just gave them the tools.
Stop facilitating misery.
Bertie just left the toddler there with a book of matches. He bears no responsibility for what happened afterwards when he left that toddler next to that bucket of oily rags. It's fine.
And on that note, we will pick up then. Bertie is rejoining Grizzop and Sasha with Einstein in Kafka's study. That's a lot of names. And Bertie is with Oliver and Oliver.
No, Hamid is with Oliver and Oliver. Why don't we just... all get named Oliver. That
should we get miniatures out?
Yeah. Hamid is with Oliver and Oliver looking after Oliver whilst caring for Oliver.
Right.
So we will start with
Oliver.
Stop it! It's going to stop meaning things to me. In Kafka's study, you are able to open the door if you wish, having just unlocked it.
Check if the traps
Einstein
again.
Is stomping over. Well, what's in there? Come on, open the door, for goodness sake.
I'm just checking it for traps. Checking the traps again.
I say this wallpaper is ghastly, and Bertie emerges.
Hello, Bertie.
Is there no tutorials today? Go away!
Oh, he's with us.
Who are you?
Helping.
Right, okay. Is the door open or not? Give me a disable device.
Critical fail.
Okay. Oh, that's really unhelpful.
Let's just bring up
plot relevant dice rolls.
There are no traps. The door is open. There is a room beyond it with no traps. A room.
Right, so what's in the room?
So, it appears to be a wizard's workshop. However, it doesn't appear to be particularly evil. By which I mean, like, there's no screaming peasants held in cages over a burning flame pit.
They
like,
seem fine.
They're really happy.
Really middle class chaps in cages over toasty.
Like,
recreational, really. Yeah.
But each of them has a little card with their safe word printed on it.
So what is in there is actually a very straightforward workshop insofar as there is what looks to be a basic alchemical set, and mostly it's a lot of paperwork stuck to walls and things. None of it is written in human blood, none of it is big, huge, archaic.
Very green bubbling liquids.
There is a green bubbling liquid. It bubbles
despite... There's always a green
It bubbles despite liquid. There being no heat, however it also is quite small and... seems to just be what it does. It's not particularly exciting.
So it's purely decoration.
It's decorative bubbling, obviously.
Hey, if I could have one of those, it's like a lava lamp, but better.
What do you mean, like? It is a lava lamp in this world. You're fine.
Awesome.
As you lava.
don't open it. There is a cage with a crow on the side, which is up against the wall, and basically it is different from the Shinsi study insofar as it seems quite straightforward, like a functional workshop, but it doesn't appear particularly evil at first glance.
It's not getting very villainous vibe.
Bertie is going to go and talk to the crow, because
of course
Bertie knows that crows are quite intelligent birds.
Yes, they are.
They can use simple tools, which, as far as he's concerned, puts them on the par with the working class. Mm-hmm. So he's going to go over.
I'm not going to engage with that. Carry on.
No, you're right not to. Bertie is a horrible person.
Indeed, and you don't feel that fire.
No.
So.
Okay, so Bertie is... Mr. Crow! Hello, Mr. Crow. Bertie takes out some of the rations that he's got and offers a little bit to the crow with his palm flat, of course, because he's got a very high handle animal skill.
Now, I'm going to have to describe this look, because I can do this look, but of course there are no listeners. What you get is... Which is best described as, for listeners who are familiar with it, what you talking about, Bertie? It's just a sidelong glance with a kind of... maybe...
It's better to make a roll for handle animal at this point.
I will return to this. Albert Einstein, meanwhile, has pushed his way into the room and is starting to have a wander around and is starting to look through things with a huff and a gruff and a frown.
Hang on a minute. So was Einstein part of the big council of wizards?
Yes!
Right, so he...
Yes! He just didn't really pay attention to you ever.
Fair enough. Hang on a minute.
What?
You, right?
Yes!
You were lying to me before.
What?
Well, I'm supposed to be looking for the rogue wizard, right?
Well, yes.
Yes. Turns out it's
sure,
Franz Kafka, which I found from somewhere else.
Yeah, I know. That's why we're here.
Yes, but you didn't tell me that in the first place. Well, why would you lie to me?
Well, I don't know. Like, does it make a difference?
Well, it wasted my time.
Well, this is your time. You should have picked better questions. I don't know. He starts wandering around and digging through drawers and stuff.
No, hang on a minute.
Such a GM's answer.
Hang on a minute. No, look. Why were you lying to me? What's going on here?
Right. Okay, fine. Big poofy chair appears. It has far too many pillows, and a basic stool appears for Grizzop. It's the right size. It has a back to it. There are worse stools, I suppose.
All right.
Fine. Okay. So it's Kafka, yes?
Well, yeah.
So we are here to investigate Kafka, yes?
Yes.
So we're all in the same room, looking for the same man, and it makes no difference whether you were here earlier or not.
No. Why did you all lie to me?
I didn't lie at all!
You didn't tell me it was Kafka!
It makes quite a difference. Like, he just keeps releasing zombies down there, and there's quite a few people dead.
Oh, that's quite bad!
Yeah.
He then just gets up and claps the chairs away, even if you're still sat on it.
Still sitting on
it. And then proceeds to just keep digging. It's like, yes, you raised a legitimate question. I'm going to search the room now! And he just continues to do so.
Wizards.
Cut to... not really a wizard. Hamid. You're with Oliver, and you are with Oliver.
I'm going to make a diplomacy check to reassure
that
the Olivers.
That seems wise.
Natural 20.
So what you managed to do is convince Oliver, who had the bloody nose, to calm down.
I've given him a hanky to help him.
Of course you have. I'm not even... Sure, that's fine. Hankies, of course. The solution to everything. And Oliver, who was injured, you've managed to... talk and convince and calm down in such a way that he's now calming other Oliver, being, it's fine, I'm not hurt, so it's okay.
Look, Oliver, we both know that much worse things happen every day at this university. People do not get expelled for minor accidents like this one. You'd have to do something much worse than... Anyway... The point is that if you look after him, if you make sure he's okay, if you take him to the medical building, they'll patch him up, and as long as they've seen that you did it by accident, that you looked after him, you made sure he was okay, there won't be any major negative consequences. You're both going to be fine. In fact, why don't you do that now? Okay?
Both Olivers look at you.
Head over to the medical building. Both, look after each other.
Both nod. Proceed to try and help one another up. And because you didn't clue which Oliver needed to support and help the other, they both kind of mutually support one another out towards the hospital wing whilst comforting one another for different problems.
I hope those two crazy kids make it work.
I head back to the study.
Can I just say that I'm enjoying the fact that the medical building for a university based in the sky is described as a hospital wing.
Canon.
Yeah.
No, I'm not even, like, that's fine.
made of wafty angel wings.
Bertie, you were talking to a crow, right?
Yes.
The crow has succeeded in taking a small amount of food. Give me a handle animal.
Okay, before I do this handle animal roll, so Bertie would like to check, is there like a nameplate or anything like that
nope.
on the cage?
There's nope.
no other clues,
nope.
the identity of the crow.
Nope.
Bertie is now doing a perception check for crow-related ancillary items. 17.
You find
I don't
some,
remember seeing that one in the rule book.
You find some crow-related ancillary items. You find a perch. You find a feed bowl. You find what appears to be some fresh newspaper ready to be put underneath the cage. There, I can go on.
Is there a little fez? Just
there is not a little fez. There is no little fez for the crow.
Do I have enough craft skill to make a little fez
no.
for the crow?
What you don't have is enough time to make a little craft.
Respect is craft. Okay, so Bertie's going to present himself. Pomp and pageantry, because he's meeting Mr. Crow for the first time. He's ready there to
move the handle animal.
There we go. That is a total of 17.
Pomp and pageantry.
Including pomp and pageantry.
Deduct pomp and pageantry rather than add it. This crow is not a class traitor.
And it's 17.
It's still kind of okay with you, even with that penalty.
Wait, hang on. 15.
Yeah, it's 15, but that's still enough to be at least okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, so is Bertie deduced from this that this is a working class crow?
Apparently so.
Right, okay.
A revolutionary working class crow.
Revolutionary working
oh,
class
yes.
crow. Goodness. All right.
You're part of the problem, Bertie.
Yeah, well, I mean,
however,
I know that.
However, it's both a working class hero crow, but it's also quite the pragmatist, and it's aware
right.
that it's in a cage, so...
Ah, okay, so it's willing to form short-term alliances.
Correct. If it had a daughter, it would marry it into your family as a way of establishing allegiance for future capitalisation upon.
So then, Mr. Crow, it seems now, Mr. Crow, we have a certain community of interest here,
I'm just going to accelerate because
I
can't deal with this right now. I realise that you're just now willfully hunting for NPCs to drag into your orbit.
No.
Yeah,
Bertie's trying to get information out of the crow. He's going to offer the crow freedom in exchange for information.
Right. I am going to continue this then.
Respect my craft.
Go for it.
Right, okay, good. Okay. So then, Mr. Crow, there we are. It seems that we have a community of interest. Hmm? You have something I want, and I have something that you want. Look at me out here, Mr. Crow, flapping my arms. Look at this wonderful freedom I'm enjoying.
People choose to listen to this podcast for pleasure.
Look at this lovely bird seed I've got here, Mr. Crow. Bertie holds some of the bird seed out flat in his hand and then pecks at it with his mouth. Flat hand. What delicious bird seed, Mr. Crow.
Some people are on the tube right now and this is how they're spending their time.
All of this bird seed could be yours.
You could be learning a new language, but...
You're learning crow.
So,
I need to crow about it.
Crow at it's a language. Right, so thank you. This is what I'm doing. He's crowing at me, I'm crowing at him. We both know crow at. Thank you.
Not your best work, but it's good.
Look, I throw out such gold all the time. A bit of pewter managed to sneak its way in. Turn your nose up at it. Respect your craft. Okay, Mr. Crow. Mr. Crow, how would you rate your desire for freedom on a scale of 1 to... Now, Mr. Crow, we are after Franz Kafka. You have any idea where Franz Kafka might be? And Bertie puts his hand on the door. Bertie opens it ajar. Not wide enough for the crow to get out. Mr. Crow, would you like to get out, Mr. Crow?
Do you speak crow, Bertie? Do you speak? Can you? Maybe he's telling you where Kafka is.
Don't interrupt my process.
Fun fact, the crow for home invasion is...
Hang on a minute. Do you think these are familiar and might actually talk to you?
You know, I hadn't thought about that.
Oh my god! I can't
the
have
this from a leak.
I can't.
Sorry.
Obviously, James.
Our character, of course.
Yes.
I love how keen you are to make it very clear to people.
Yeah. I wonder, we're 70 episodes in. If somebody has been listening to it this long, doesn't realise that I and Bertie are different people. Oh my god. Okay. Right. Yes. So yes, that is obviously what Bertie. That, but Bertie in character has just realised this in inverted commas.
I do enjoy listening to someone have a character that can't articulate the phrase. Oh, this is clearly a wizard's familiar, a concept I'm familiar with, because they're not. So it's just, could it? I have to re-articulate this entire thing until someone else helps me.
If only he had the circlet of command.
Oh, that'd make life way easier.
It can't speak to animals three times per day.
Yeah, that'd be really handy, wouldn't it? So just wait for the postal service to turn up.
Moving on.
Oh, wait, so do you think that's a wizard's familiar and it can talk to you? I don't think it is.
How do you know?
Well, unless it's playing dumb.
You playing dumb, Mr. Crow. Don't give me that. You know where he was.
Hamid is definitely here at this point.
What's going on?
Hamid, is this crow a wizard's familiar?
How would I be able to tell?
I know magic.
Is it speaking English?
But
wait,
he looks at the crow.
Is it speaking Czech?
No. It seems for some reason, I know that he's not speaking Czech at this point.
It's probably not, then.
Bertie puts the cage down on the floor.
Should we search the room for clues?
I want to see what he does with this cage first.
Oh, for goodness sake, I'm not dedicating an episode to a crow in a cage.
You put a crow in a cage?
Yeah.
In a room, you knew this would happen.
Yep.
It's true. I put a thing in the world. Of course, we have to disappear down this rabbit hole.
It's an animal. Bertie has a handle animal skill. If there's an animal, Bertie's going to handle it.
That's just. So you know what? Okay,
what
that's on me.
Yeah. What are we going to try and do with the cage then?
So Bertie looks at the crow. Looks at the crow in his gilded cage. Thinks for a moment about the symbolism of that, with his own life and a cage, privilege around him, and the golden confines of the contract. He just looks at the crow and thinks, is there a moment of a spiritual union between him and the crow? And he just goes, nah, turns around and leaves the crow in the cage.
I'm going to sidle up to the crow and just open the door.
Okay, you open the door.
Go on. Or not, whatever.
And then I'll start looking at
the room. He's lived so long in those cramped, dark interiors that he's finding it intimidating to leave them and experience a wider world. I wonder what that must feel like.
Look, I didn't empathise with the crow. I'm damned if you're going to. Anybody else? Hamid? This crow is also short.
Hang on a minute.
What? Grizzle? This crow is also short.
No, I don't want to be included.
Oh. Grizzle, this crow is of moderate size.
I really don't think the crow is important. Can we just search the room for stuff that is?
Perception checks.
Whoa!
Oh, maybe he is important.
See, I told you so.
What did he say? What?
Don't give us that. We know you can talk English now. We heard you. Not English, Czech. Why do I keep saying that?
So the crow flies down onto what is basically the seed bag that's there, starts pecking it open, and then just starts eating some of the seed.
We'll take the seed away from you unless you talk to us.
Now hang on a minute.
I'll walk up to the crow, bend down. Get right close, say.
Look, I scratch your back, now you scratch mine.
Pecks your face a little bit, doesn't deal damage.
All right.
And then grabs a bit of this seed and then flies back up onto the cage, closes the cage, locks the cage and sits there eating it, watching you all.
That's a smug crow.
Gonna roll diplomacy
on the crow?
That is a 23.
You succeed.
Okay.
Look, if Kafka isn't found, you're not going to get much interesting things happening. I'm sure an animal of your intelligence might need a stimulus of a certain kind. If you help us, we'll take you out into the wide world. I'm sure an intelligent animal like yourself will succeed greatly. Or what do you want?
You could join our gang. Sounds fun. We're taking in people right now looking for.
I have a vacancy, and Bertie just opens the papoose that has been dangling the whole time. Completely unmentioned.
The crow looks at.
You don't need to
Bertie
do that.
That's not actually.
Yeah.
Bertie retrieves a bottle of cheap brandy from his inventory and just kind of uncorks it and just goes and looks mournfully at the crow, holding the papoose.
Maybe he's intimidated by the falcons, Bertie.
2,000.
2,000 what?
What do you think? 2,000 chicken nuggets! 2,000 gold.
All right.
What do you want gold for?
What do you want gold for?
Buying stuff.
Goods and services.
Yeah, but...
I like this, Crow.
Most people don't
Mostly
serve.
Services. I don't have much need for goods. Don't have thumbs.
Where are you going to keep the gold?
I'll hire someone to hold it. It looks to, like, Hamid looks back to Grizzov. It's just like, a bit dim.
Well, I mean, the person you hire to hold it might walk off with it. And you are, in fact, a crow.
I'll hire someone to keep an eye on them.
No. You won't have any money.
Cree custodi custodes.
I don't know what that means.
I do.
It's true, he does.
Yeah. It's a good point, but I do feel like crows do not normally take an active role in the economy.
I'm up and coming.
See, well, you know, I have a certain respect for the insurgent bourgeois classes, even if they come in such a small, unusual package.
1750.
We're haggling quite effectively, and we've not even made a counteroffer. I think there's...
20?
The bird proceeds to void itself vaguely in your direction.
Don't think he likes that idea.
1,000.
No, look, if you think about it, you're a lot smaller than any of us. So proportionally, the same amount of gold could buy you a great deal more.
Turns to Grizz up. I don't think he understands how money works.
All right, well,
1,000.
Hang on one moment. What are we paying this crow for? Just about 1,000 gold?
Yeah. Information about Kafka.
Yeah, what are you? Yeah, what have you got? What have you got? Is it...
Half now, half after.
You can't give us half a clue now.
Yeah,
half
I can.
After.
All right, do it okay, then.
Franz Kafka is...
No, not
right.
Enough.
You walked right into that one, didn't you?
That's my half.
But we know that... We know,
wait, hang on a minute.
We know that the clue about Franz Kafka only has three words in it.
We never agreed. You just gave us the information freely. That wasn't part of the actual deal.
It's an enticement.
No.
I, for one, am not enticed. Well, perhaps, you know, you have... You're soon to come integrated of money, Mr. Crow. Is it Mr. Crow?
Don't really have a name.
Oh, Barry!
All right.
Barry, it's an excellent name. Barry, Barry,
all right.
Barry, if I may. You're soon to come into money, Barry. Have you given a thought to how you might invest that money?
Takes a moment. I think I'll offer short-term loans to people who are looking for immediate purchases that are necessarily unwise, but charge an extortionate amount of interest.
I like this crow.
I don't think we want to give this crow any money.
No, I don't think we want to either.
He wants to be a loan shark.
But a loan crow. But of course, if you are to enter into such a business arrangement, Barry Crow, I'm pitching it now, Barry Crow, payday loans. A golden sign over a perch, a perch encrusted in diamonds.
Do we actually have 1,000 gold to give him?
Yes, we do.
I love that James is still personally maintaining eye contact whilst making the pitch. He's like, shut up, I got this, shut up.
But you're going to need it. It's a dangerous business, Barry. What would happen if perhaps somebody were to default on your loan? You would need to have some enforcement. Someone to enforce your contracts, a basic foundational precept of debt in the first place. We're of one mind on this, I can tell, Barry. You're a very wise crow. Now, think as well what might happen if somebody were to loan money from you, take that money away, and suddenly decide not to repay it. Indeed, were to see that you're a lone crow. You would need protection, would you not, Barry? Think for a moment, Barry.
Kind of gives, you know, that head bob that birds give where it's quizzical but also kind of jerky and sudden.
Think as well, Barry, about your market, your target demographic and where they might be found. Are desperate people...
Paris!
Short pay, term payday, Paris.
Paris!
How do you know about what's happened in Paris?
He's got a bird's eye view. Now,
everyone knows.
He's a very wise man. A very wise little
crow. It only happened yesterday.
Well, more like... Last week.
Oh, well, no, given that you've spent an entire, like, almost a week just sat in the hotel room waiting for things to play out as well. Because it went from bad to worse to worse to worse. You left and it was like citywide riots.
Some news will have travelled by word of mouth.
Now, Barry, think about it. There's anarchy on the streets in Paris. Think how vulnerable a lone crow would be. There are archers around.
Lone crow, nice.
Thank you. you will be... How better to both not only expand your markets, but also provides security in transit that if you were to travel with four powerful adventurers...
The crow's head is slowly starting to bob.
Think about it. Think about it, Barry. Makes a lot of sense.
Is he agreeing falling asleep?
I don't know.
Either way, we're on to a winner.
It's definitely asleep. It's just the soothing tones of your voice have taken this animal with...
Bertie's tones are soothing. Okay, fine.
To a crow.
Yeah, okay.
You were speaking of payday loans, of riches, of an exploitative person who you could use. Like,
I thought this was a crow with class consciousness.
Sasha grabs the crow.
No, he has consciousness. It's just his class is a petty bourgeois. He's a small businessman. He's very conscious of his class position.
Hold up, guys. Something is happening.
Sasha grabs the crow.
Oh my god, thank you.
For goodness, just tell us where Kafka is. Grabs him around the neck.
Give me a reflex save.
That's the one thing I'm good at. 18 plus 8 is 26.
20, yeah. Okay, 26. He kind of rattles around a bit and then goes,
meh. Yeah, where's Kafka? Meh. What's going on?
Meh. See, this could have gone so nicely, Barry. You could have accompanied us on money-lending adventures across
Europe. It's in the book!
Is it in the book?
Took the book.
He took the book.
Took the book. Okay,
so she releases it. Right, which book? Do you know, Grizzop?
No, just...
It looks really, like, pleadingly at Grizzop in what's meant to be, like, a manoeuvre diplomatically, but it's just not that smart. Yeah. It's just like, help me.
She's not throttling. I'm not throttling him. I'm just holding him. He's making it up. He's just play it.
Sense motive on the crow.
That's a 12.
That crow's a bit sketchy. It's not a particularly strong...
Look, I'm not choking.
Oh, yeah, all right. Look, I know you're making up.
Hamid stopped paying attention to this conversation several minutes ago and has been searching the room. 23.
Before I reveal everything that is required from this scenario, I think we'll take a break.
Huh.
Something wrong, Detective.
How many tape recorders you got?
Can't say I'm entirely sure. We have all sorts of old equipment in storage, I think. You wish to use it for the interviews?
Probably not.
And you're sure you want to do it in here? We haven't had a chance to properly clean it.
Won't take long.
If you say so. I warn you, some of my people have a tendency to ramble.
I just need to know where he is.
As you wish. Who do you want first?
Don't care.
Right you are. You'll be all right on your own for a minute?
That a joke?
Some people find this place unsettling.
Mr. Bouchard, I'm not the one who needs to be scared.
Whatever you say, Detective.
Anyone there? God damn it.
The Magnus Archives, Season 3. Coming November 23rd, 2017. See you then.
As an apex predator, the presence of snow leopards informs us about the health of their environment. That's why the Snow Leopard Trust has turned to Microsoft AI to find and study these elusive animals. With AI, it only takes minutes to analyze thousands of remote camera images and understand where these animals are, so researchers have more time to protect them and their ecosystem. See how at microsoft.com/AI.
And welcome back. Right, so what you have found, funnily enough, yes, you found a clue. What you also noticed is that at some point, Einstein fell asleep whilst looking,
awesome.
And just kind of fell back down into a chair that he presumably summoned whilst the crow talk was going on, and is just kind of napping gently in a chair. The unseen servant is still riffling through stuff. What you do find is a large tome, basically, was down the back of a workbench. You see that the workbench itself appeared to have been cleared as if to study something, and down the back is a quite big tome, say like foot and a half, maybe 2 feet wide, like a big tome, heavy. And you pull it up from the back and you slam it down with a big thud, and it appears to be stitched from various pieces of leather, and it has...
Oh dear, what kind of leather?
And it basically has an inscription which is faded on the top to the point where you're not really able to read it.
I blow the dust off it, dust off it dramatically.
How to cook humans! it has... Give me a perception check.
I can cast read magic if it's a magical script. Oh dear.
Critical fail.
That was a natural one.
Oh, so it's definitely deer skin or venom. It's no kind of suspicious leather whatsoever.
You're just not able to make out the cool. inscription on the front. It was just a sort of embossed title, like someone had done an embossing on it. But opening it, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's fine. It's empty. It's just the binding. On closer examination, it looks like someone has torn or cut the entirety of the book's contents from its leather binding. So it's just a massive, imposing-looking tome with all of the sheaves inside removed. That's the one!
Wait, so he took the innards of the book.
So what you've basically led us to is there is a ring binder. That is...
human skin ring binder.
I'd have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling kids!
No, Kafka!
Oh yeah, where did he go then?
He kind of looks at you and then jerks its head downwards.
To the city? Right.
Like a lot of zombies.
Yeah, where... Do you know roughly where he might like going?
Loony bin!
So that's where he should go, or that's where he is?
He might be there.
Are you setting us up for some kind of Arkham Asylum?
he went a bit weird.
Right.
He was studying the book and he went a bit weird.
This book.
What's it called?
I can't make it out. Can you read this?
Bertie has a lot of languages, so he has a look.
The only one who's really going to stand a chance is Bertie. Give me the roll, but I'm going to point out that I'm not going to have every single person roll because it's actually quite hard to make out anyway. You're looking for a very high roll.
18.
You make out the word mortis, Latin. Beyond that,
well, it's related to death magic in some way because of the Latin root here, but then we are investigating a necromancer, so it's not an enormous surprise.
We're in a study. Someone take a rubbing. If you can't read it, take a rubbing.
Not in public. What?
I'll do that quickly.
Rooms. I find a piece of paper and a piece of charcoal.
Excellent.
You make out four words in basically squared off with one another across the front of the book, which is Mortis Securitas, Libertas Omnium.
So, laboratory, opium, mortuary.
You speak Latin, don't you, Bertie?
Of course, yes. Bertie reads it and it translates out.
Give me a linguistics check.
That would be 14.
14?
Yes.
As the best translation that you can give is something like freedom from death, freedom for all, or freedom from death, death for all. Like, the grammar's gone slightly weird. Like, the way it's laid out, the typefacing and so on, means that the order may be... Like, may have an extra layer to it that you're missing.
Yeah.
You know, like a poetic technique, or maybe you're hinting something that's just kind of whoosh, straight over your head. But so, literally, freedom from death, freedom for all.
Bertie makes that party.
So basically it's about raising mass zombies.
That scans.
Which seems that way.
Seems to fit with the plague thing.
Right. So he's gone to an asylum.
I don't know where he's gone. Could go anywhere. He should be in one.
I think he was making a prejudiced joke.
Crow joke!
They're not very funny.
Yeah, This, you know what?
Slash your face, crow joke!
Stigma is never funny, even for crows, right?
I feel that you can't really defend crow jokes. I don't think you can really make the argument that any sort of prejudice against neuroatypical behaviour is an inherent part of crow culture. I'm not sure that's a valid defence, Barry.
So's your face. Crow jokes!
Right, last chance.
Okay, right. All right, crow. All right, if, what bar would Kafka be in? Where would you go looking for him? All right, well...
Should we ask Professor Einstein about this?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Gonna put the crow back in the cage.
I walk up to Einstein and just poke him awake.
You poke him? Let's see if he wakes, shall we? He does. Right then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he kind of... What? What do you want?
We found it.
Found what?
The book.
Ooh.
It looks like Kafka...
Out the way! He runs over and starts grabbing
he
it and yanking it.
He took all the pages out.
He opens it. What did you do?
Kafka took all the pages out before he ran off.
He kind of holds it up.
Are you familiar with this book, Professor?
Are you not? He kind of drops
no!
it. And then you see him cast this spell at it once. Nothing happens. He does it again. It's also like the size of his torso. He's not a big man.
Right. So now we found your book. And now you might want to help us. Where do you think Kafka might be? And can you summon all of your little wizardy friends? And we can have a nice big chat. And I can find out where Kafka's going to be. Before he summons hundreds more zombies. He's using plague pits.
This is so bad. Okay, fine.
We should go and see the council right now.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. We should... He teleports away.
Well, I know where they meet, at least. So let's go.
Let's go.
One moment. Bertie, I think Bertie's going to release Barry. I mean, you know, he can unlock his own cage anyway, but he's just going to do that. And Bertie is also going to search the room, assuming there's some sort of index. Is the room sorted using like a Dewey Decimal system or anything?
Sorted, bless you.
Okay.
We don't have time to look through everything else, Bertie.
I'll catch up. And Bertie is going to be searching for books on planar law.
Okay.
Bertie, no, you don't. We don't have time. You won't be able to find the building unless we're all going together.
I'm learning, Hamid.
If we don't go now, I'll still probably finish the meeting without
exactly.
us.
Exactly. Bertie, come on.
I'll be going.
All right, Bertie grabs three books at random off the shelf.
Okay, that's fine. You pull three tomes from the shelf, all of which are written in Draconic. Two of them, the titles seem to move under your eyes and you can't seem to get a fix on them. The last one is Mass Summoning and You, A Beginner's Guide.
Ooh.
By Franz Kafka.
Ooh. Bertie takes that, he drops two, he can't read. I mean, you know, that's basically anything with a reading age of about 16 plus.
Sure.
But he takes the Mass Summoning.
Sure.
Yep.
Puts it in his cursed bag of holding.
No, he doesn't. Puts it in his bag. So what was the third again? Sorry, Mass Summoning.
And You.
Mass Summoning and You, : A Beginner's Guide, Franz Kafka. Do you open it to have a quick look, or are you going to look at it later?
Not yet.
Okay.
Bit of laboratory reading, so it's all for the Blueberry.
Hey!
What? I haven't heard that term before.
Yeah. I heard that. It's good.
Yes.
So, what are you doing?
Running following after Grizzop.
Grizzop.
Because I know where they met,
yep.
Assumedly.
Presumably it's at the council chamber, and presumably that was the same council... I mean, how many council chambers are they going to have?
Who knows, but I'll take a punt.
I mean, it is a wizard university that's constantly rearranging itself.
Welcome to the infinite council chamber. Which one would you like? Okay.
Council is the heart of the university, therefore there are four chambers.
Hey! So, heading out of the what's the sort of nominal offices, domicile of them, you head back out and head to the centre of the university. Turns out that as the rest of you are sort of jogging along and keeping up, it becomes apparent that as much as it seems to be sort of random floating and bouncing around, actually there is a fixed point in the middle of this and everything seems to be circuiting around it, and as you're sort of running and then waiting for the next one to align or doing a quick hop as they like overlap one another and so on, there might actually be a pattern to it.
Yeah, is it a regular orbit?
It appears like it might be, but the pattern eludes
celestial dance.
All of you. Right. It's either complete chaos or just incredibly complicated, and unless you were to spend an enormous amount of time studying it, you won't know.
Basically, an armillary with
Yeah, pretty much. So, heading towards the centre, and you, as you're getting there, things start looking a bit more formal, a little less like you're at the edge of a campus and more like you're heading in towards teaching areas and so on. And there's one that flows past, which is appears to just be a massive, completely solid stone ball that's huge. It's easily the size of like a 10-story building that's just zooms past quietly, and there's a few other weird ones that no doubt have peculiar like reasons for them. But you eventually head towards the centre, and what you see there is both a lot older than everything else you've seen, and a way more humble building. In fact, at a glance, it becomes apparent that what this was is it may have been what the university used to be an enormous time ago, because everything else, the foundations are kind of floating. Like, they seem like they have been made in the air, and they are floating in the air. This has a big old hunk of earth and rock and stuff attached to the bottom, so it's more like a floating rock with a building upon it kind of thing. It has a much more gothic vibe than everything else. I mean, everything's quite elaborate, but this is more elaborate in a very aged way. Hamid, you recognise the architecture as being the same as the Bolag's Roost. It's certainly the same period. Mm-hmm. And it appears to have no magical elements to it. It's sensibly architectured. It doesn't seem to have any weird colours or anything. And yeah, heading up, you know, Grizzop, that if you head there and basically knock, it's... They warned you going in, don't do any magic here. A, you won't be able to. And B, it's considered the grossest faux pas to even attempt it, clerical or otherwise. And yeah, there's just the big double doors, but you're going to have to knock to
enter. I never
got
to go in this building last time I was here.
Oh, right.
Knock, knock, knock.
Is there anything we should know?
Oh, yeah, don't do magic.
Door opens.
Okay.
There is what looks... at least like to our eyes in this world, as a perfectly traditional butler. Black top and tails, white gloves, and...
Ooh, snooker.
Pretty much. And spectacles, and they are actually quite young, but beyond that, it's just, how may I help you?
We're to the council. We came with Albert Einstein, but he left.
He did warn us that someone would be coming along.
Good, he remembered.
I'm going to presume that you were the orc. He's not what he used to be.
Mm.
Okay. Please come in. I'd like to apologise on his behalf.
Mm.
Okay. Please, come in.
Is that a terrible insult?
It's just wrong. Mm.
Gestures him in. Closes the door. They'll be with you in a moment. If you just let me announce you, once you hear your announcement, obviously, please step in.
We're the...
London, another London outstanding mercenary group.
That's a great name.
We were working on it for quite a long time.
If you'll excuse me, he heads to a door. You're in a quite plain corridor. Again, to more experienced eyes, like in this world, it looks more like what you'd expect a proper academic institution to be in this sort of red brick style. So it's just, it's wood panelling. It's not particularly like hugely extravagant so much as just old. He knocks, enters, there's a blah, blah, blah. Introducing the London and other London outstanding mercenary group. The door opens and then you're showed through into a room.
Yeah, and a subcontractor.
And a subcontractor, he adds flawlessly. Heading into the room, it's actually quite a small room. There's another fireplace not lit. There is a very interesting looking stained glass window at the far end of the room. Give me a knowledge history if you have it. Religion won't cut it.
16.
It is depicting the magical restoration of Prague. So after Rome fell and everything went to mess, mm-hmm. It is depicting the moment when Bolesmark determined this region as its own and raised the university to protect the people. And it's very elaborate, and it is effectively just demonstrating the moment that Prague became a power in its own right and was freed from the shackles of the world that came before. It's quite pretty, it's quite beautiful, but it is mundane. It's not magically moving or anything. And sat around the table, you see...
All the people that you listed earlier?
No.
Oh.
You see an elderly gentleman with a carefully crafted beard and a bald... Is it pronounced pate? I've only ever read that word.
Pate, yeah,
yeah, a bald pate.
Well, it's not a bald pate.
Sure.
If you've got hair in your pate, though, that's a problem.
You see Einstein... And you see another woman who is...
Is that Eldurian?
No. Okay. You see another woman who is comparatively plain-looking, apart from her eyes, which are fierce as anything. Like, it looks like someone took, like, a pair of eyes from, like, some Viking warrior somewhere and put them into a quite plain-looking woman. Like, whoa. Fierce as anything. There are two chairs which have black shrouds draped over them. One chair is empty, and another chair is empty. That is everyone who is at the table. They all look at you, and Einstein immediately stands and goes, "Yep, that's the one. He's found the sink. We should come in. We should have a talk. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come sit down." He gestures for the butler, who goes to the edges of the room, which has additional chairs, but not in the big kind of
We found a lot of zombies under Prague, and then we found a book about making lots of zombies. So we're thinking that they might possibly be connected.
The woman with the sort of fierce eyes looks at the other two. They kind of share a moment.
Now, it seems you lied to our colleague here earlier about whether you knew who was responsible, because clearly it was Franz Kafka, who used to be a member of this body.
And that decision got a lot of people killed.
The man with the bald pate and the crafted beard gently but firmly kind of holds a finger up for a moment for quiet, and they start leaning across and having a quiet consultation at the other end of the table to you.
Well, this is helpful.
They did this a lot the first time.
Right, if you could come, please sit down. We think it's probably best that we discuss things in a little more detail. We'd hoped to avoid this, but no doubt once we explain ourselves, you'll understand how and why.
Yeah, you might have hoped, but you didn't help to avoid this.
Might I be so bold as to suggest that some introductions are in order?
Perfectly, fair enough.
I am Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham of the noble seat of Old Botham, an absolute pleasure.
The gentleman who was just talking fails to hide a little bit of a sort of snigger behind her hand.
Bertie not, does not notice.
Yeah, it's a subtle move for what it's worth. It's just a sort of... a pleasure to meet you, sir, was it?
Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham, yes.
Pleasure to meet you, sir. Bertrand MacGuffingham.
Hamid Salah Harun al-Tahan, sorcerer.
Pleasure.
There's a slightly kind of quizzical look that quickly passes over Hamid's face.
Einstein,
as he says that for
react.
The first time.
The gentleman that you're talking to doesn't react. The woman with the fierce eyes, they just look at you and bore into your soul the second that you spoke. Just... Yeah, she kind of registered that one. That's fine.
I'm all right. I'm just working with him.
It's customary to provide a name, not necessarily a real name.
Sasha Ricketts?
And we are the London and Other London Outstanding Mercenary Group, and this is our recent associate, who I believe you've met before.
Yeah, you've already met me. Grizzoldrick Act Amsterdam. Paladin of Artemis, helping you out.
The woman leans back a little bit. Again, looks at you with the kind of fierce eyes and just really quietly, to the point you can barely hear it, just goes, "We don't want to be here." Maintaining a civil and ready head will serve you well.
Okay.
They all basically gesture for you. The big throne-esque chairs are pulled away so that the more mundane chairs can be placed at the table, and they gesture for you to sit.
And you are?
The gentleman you've been speaking to first stands, straightens a waistcoat, strokes a little beard and goes, "Sigmund Freud, I'm the director and professor of enchantment studies here at the university." Sits. The Albert Einstein stands up and goes, "Einstein! Albert, mister!" Sits down. They look at him. "Conjuration!" Sits down again. Stands up again. "University! Conjuration! University!" gives a wink, sits down, and then might have nodded off. It's not sure. There may have been an accident at some point involving Einstein. That's certainly the vibe he's giving off.
Two Rikers.
The woman stands gently, looks at all of you, hands behind the back, far more severe than the others, and just sort of goes, "Mary Curie, I'm the Director of Transmutation Studies, and in lieu of the rest, currently abjuration and divination and necromancy, so we'll have to deal with that."
Hamid looks incredibly impressed.
She sits down, carefully, neatly. So, Mary Curie speaking at this point. Again, very, very quietly, super understated.
You were originally brought onto this situation because we did not wish to disclose to the general population that a member of the highest ranking order of wizards has not only gone rogue but stolen an incredibly potent magical artifact without the supervision of others in order to enact some kind of ludicrous and archaic ritual. The reason you were not made aware of anything more than this is we would hope that you had trapped them down and we were intending to breach the pact with the rest of Prague and deal with the situation ourselves, because as noble an idea as it is that whatever is down there is dealt with by down there and we should not interfere, he will kill all of them. We needed someone who could find him, report back, and then we will deal with it ourselves. How do you think the rest of the population will handle this situation, finding out that arguably one of the most powerful people in the world might have gone... What was it you said, Einstein? Barmy! Completely! Off his rocker! Crazy! Kind of subsides back into his kind of doze. Yes, quite. It was a necessary action.
Well, with the greatest of respects, it didn't quite work, did it? And lots of people have been killed now. And really... You made it sound really nice, but what you mean is we screwed up and really don't want people to know about it. And I don't care.
Well, I mean, I can see that perspective. I mean, as long as you're not caught, it's all basically fine.
She just takes a moment and then turns back to Grizzop. Doesn't even, like, it doesn't seem to be a move. Like, it doesn't seem to be a social move against Bertie. It's just this conversation is clearly not going to go anywhere, and just returns to Grizzop. How would you have suggested handling this better, given that two of the council are already dead?
Let me know that it was Franz Kafka first, and I could have a look in his study or his living quarters for clues.
Ah, of course, your experience with incredibly potent magical artifacts from ancient Rome that can corrupt the minds of the user, of course, that...
Well, in which case, how were you expecting me to find him at all?
Because he is out of place. He is out of his time, effectively, at this point. He is just someone who's running around. Ultimately... We don't believe he's in control of his faculties, and you were not the only person that... She takes a moment and steadies herself. Worth Everyone it. Give me a perception check.
9. 26.
17.
16.
Everyone apart from Bertie, a twitch has developed on her right, like just below her right eye, and there's clearly a heartbeat there that has gone from boom, 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 boom to doom, 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 doom. There is no other change in her demeanour whatsoever. Like, at all. Look. There's a reason that he has that book. And it's not a reason that we're likely to share. At which point, the gentleman, Freud, stands up and goes, Marie, we're going to have to tell them. Otherwise, there's not really going to be any progress here. At which point, she takes a moment, composes herself, sits down. And then he leans across the table and says, right, what do the rest of you know about the Harlequins?
The Hooligans?
Not
very much.
We've heard, I mean, they play card games, right? Something like that.
Rugby, I thought.
They I believe they're an anti-meritocratic organisation.
They kind of all share a look and go, that's one way of putting it, we suppose, yes. Let's say that Franz Kafka was one of them. And let's say that Franz Kafka took it upon himself to extend the reach of his studies beyond the academic in what's a misguided attempt to further his ideals and was not ready for what he activated, let's say.
Because what he did was he made lots of zombies. So did he not intend to make hundreds of zombies? Because it seems to me that making hundreds of zombies is quite a hard thing to do. And yeah. And that book says death for all or something. It's about making lots of zombies.
So
where in that process was there a misstep?
Well, I think that what they're saying is that it was the previous research he was doing that broke his mind and now he wants to make zombies. But I might have misunderstood.
Einstein kind of perks up and goes, you see, the idiots, they don't get it! They don't want to make zombies! Zombies is a byproduct! Do you have any idea how easy it is to make zombies? I could fall asleep and make 50 zombies! What's wrong with you? God!
Don't do that!
Really awful.
Quite the news.
God! I don't see why he needs them at all! Look at them! At which point, like, Mary just gives him a look. Fine! Go! Do your talking thing! God!
he's out like a light again.
Wait, so what is he, what's he trying to...
So, our role isn't just educational. Our role is to safeguard a rather large number of items and knowledges which are best kept on, let's say, the down low. I believe that's something that people have been saying a lot recently. Certainly how we've been operating. Anyway, long story short, Rome wasn't exactly as destroyed as you'd think. More made it out than you'd think. What you've been witnessing, and what no doubt will continue happening, are the very tips of a boil, and that boil is a symptom of a significantly larger sickness. We had made a number of safeguards against these items being removed, which he circumvented. He found the book cover that was actually doing a lot of the work. The scale of what he'll be attempting to do, if he is attempting to do it, is so much larger than a smattering of corpses.
Oh dear.
All right. So give us all the information so we can go down there and not be immediately killed as soon as we find him.
It seems to me, if I understand your position correctly, is what you need are agents who are able to operate discreetly in Prague below without involving you as much as possible, and then to call you in at the appropriate moment to deal with Mr. Kafka. Now, I do feel that we would be able to do that, but we can't do that kind of mission unless we are given all the available information. So my colleague here would not have been able to be properly discreet if you hadn't told him there was a need for that. And by providing him information of it being Mr. Kafka, then he would also have been able to get a great deal ahead. Now, if you would like to hire the London and other London Outstanding Mercenary Group to complete this mission, we would, of course, be very pleased to conduct it for you.
In cooperation with the Church of Artemis?
In cooperation with the Church of Artemis, of course. But we do need to make sure we know all the information first and that we're all up front with each other.
All of you give me a... Actually, bear with. Give me a diplomacy check on that speech.
Natural 20.
Hey. Oh! Oh! It was a well-worded speech, so I'm glad that the dice are matching up with this, actually. They all share a look. Then they all take a moment. They all pull off a ring. They nudge Einstein, who wakes up, sees what's going on, takes off a ring as well, and they all place him in the middle. Every single one of them is a copy of the ring that Zolf had, and a copy of the ring that Rakefine had, and they all go, right, well, Marie, sort of leading the charge. We think it's time that humans sort of took their role back in the world, and this is a natural consequence of that. And I think I'll end the episode there.
Ooh. They killed Buller Smock!
So what you're saying is basically Zolf left as soon as his plot kicked off.
Yeah, he did! That's why I hate you!
I hope we can wrap the rest of this plot up in the afternoon remaining of that day, because we've got tickets to the opera in the evening.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
I mean, you could just miss the tickets to your sister's
Don't opera. Be ridiculous, Alex!
I feel kind of
also, we've got to get time to buy outfits for the entire party. This is a nightmare, guys. We're not going to be ready.
Everything's gone so wrong.
And the ball's tonight. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill, or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Crow Strangler Show. The show where we strangle crows.
Welcome.
Crow Stranglers.
How many crows can I strangle?
Six.
Let's strangle crows.
That's seven crows. Seven of you personal best.
Brilliant.
That's a strangling. Welcome to Strangling Crows, the podcast.
Don't give it a theme tune!
How to murder a murder.